This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Just this morning, we've got an absolutely awesome privilege of welcoming Tien Sipho to minister. He'll be ministering here this morning and then also this evening. I've known Tien since before school, so we grew up together. And it's really what an honor to just see what God is doing in the life of someone who's willing to stand up and say, I will go. I will be there. I will be the voice. And just in preparation for welcoming Tien, so I just thought, you know, the characters that I've seen are one of fearlessness in declaring the gospel. And just the boldness of declaring the truth despite circumstance and despite persecution, to be honest. So it's really a privilege to welcome Tien's. Tien's is was a pastor at Shofar Tigerberg, so actually part of this congregation. Also planted the church in Tableview, which is which he pastored for a number of years. And then most recently, he was the pastor at Shofar Franschhoek. And then God called him through his wife to take up the leadership of African Enterprise, an international organization, really looking at and I'm sure Tien's will share a bit more about this, but just really uniting the kingdom of God, the different congregations, to work together for one purpose. So some of you will know Michael Cassidy. He was the founder of African Enterprise, and Stephen Lungu is their evangelical poster boy, I suppose. So it's a great privilege just to welcome Tien's, who's had many platforms, and I'm sure we're going to have much to receive this morning. So let's give Tien's a hand as he comes up.
Good morning. Wow, it's really great to be with you this morning and to see familiar faces from long ago. Thanks for the welcome, Dale. And thank you to the elders and especially Pastor Ross and Magriet. I think they're just getting a well-deserved rest this weekend. But it's really great for the opportunity to be with you this morning. So as Dale mentioned, I'm at African Enterprise. I'm the South African team leader, so not over the whole organization. We're actually in 10 countries in Africa, and our core ministry is to evangelize the cities of Africa through word and deed in partnership with the church. So we work together with all denominations, and that in itself can be challenging. You know, so God leads us to a city, or we get invited to a city. And then the first port of call is to get all the church leaders together. And, you know, sometimes that can be challenging because as church leaders, and I would know, you know, as a pastor, we are so busy just to even make time to come together. You know, every church is busy with its own programs and calendar. But it's amazing what happens when churches come together. That kind of unity, how God blesses that. And just preparing for the mission over a period of about a year, we'd be preparing for hundreds of different events. So a lot of our mission preparation overlaps with other missions that we've got in the pipeline, and we're very excited to be coming through to Cape Town next year. We're aiming at the first 2 weeks of November next year, which is it's quite late in the year, but it's the space that God has given us, and we're very excited for what God's going to do in Cape Town. So I've already met with key denominational leaders across the city of Cape Town, and so far it's just a thumbs up and a green light. It's something that God really wants us to do together, so it's very exciting. We're trusting God for the salvation of tens of thousands in Cape Town next year as we just partner and fall into what God is already busy with in this great city. You guys have a bird's eye view of the mountain and, you know, into the Cape Flats, and we'll definitely be pressing on your button as well to come and join us for Cape Town. So yeah, it's exciting times. If you want to find out more about African Enterprise, there's a couple of these brochures if you're really interested. I don't have enough for everybody, but there's some at the info table there. And then also, if you'd like to receive our monthly email newsletter, you're very welcome to just put your email address down. There's a clipboard there. So we'd love to keep in touch and keep you up to date with where we're busy in Africa. So our priorities, firstly, in South Africa from the South African team's perspective, but then also secondly, looking beyond our borders. So I've had the privilege to travel through Africa over the last year that I've been at AE. And it's really, Africa is very different from what my perspective was. And I mean, I've done mission mostly in the southern regions of Africa, you know, over the last years. But God is really busy working all over this continent. And the face of Africa is changing. And it's becoming, our cities are becoming very cosmopolitan with a very strong Asian influence as well. You just see sort of Chinese hieroglyphics on these skyscrapers that are busy being built all over Africa. And so the world is coming to Africa and God's going to use that. They might have their agendas, but people from countries where the gospel, you know, is not really very welcome are coming to Africa. And as far as the kingdom of God is concerned in the world today, you know, Africa is the global south. This is the epicenter of, you know, the density of Christianity is found actually, ironically, somewhere around Timbuktu. We always used to joke about, you know, God sending you as a missionary to Timbuktu. Well, that happens to be the middle point. Not that there's necessarily many Christians in Timbuktu, but if you have to plot a dot where the middle of Christianity would be on the globe, it's Timbuktu. And so as Africa, we have a lot to offer the world. And I'm going to get a little bit more into that just now. But yeah, we have three kids. My wife and I, Charlene. You, many of you know the family. And the last time we were here as pastors in the church, we had just had our firstborn, Christian, was busy crawling around the floor on the medical campus there at Tigerberg. Now he's 9 years old, and we've got a seven-year-old daughter, Esther, and a five-year-old boy, Reinhardt. And so they're very jealous that I'm here with you this morning. Our wife's praying for us this morning. And I remember Oom Piet Meiburg. Some of you might remember him. And he always said, "Hier is 'n lekker kerkie." And so I can definitely agree with that. And it's so refreshing. And it's just so awesome to worship together with you this morning. Traveling to different congregations. Traveling to different congregations and denominations. You know, we really have something special to when we come together and worship the Lord. There's something of a freedom that one doesn't always experience everywhere. But there are beautiful Christians, committed Christians in all denominations. And it's really refreshing to work together with the church. Before I get into the message, I'd like to call my friend Emil. So can you read for us a passage here? Acts chapter 17. You put on your spectacles. There we go. Acts chapter 17, verse 22 to 34.
Okay. Sorry. Can't really see. Sorry.
Let me pass to the person next to her. It's dangerous when you sit in the front of the church. I see some people have learned the lesson. Was it all the committed people are in India at the moment? I don't know what's up with that.
Okay. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should see God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man who he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, "We will hear you again about this." So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom else were some other name, Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him.
Great, thank you. Bye, Dunkey. Right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for time together, family time, around the table with you, Lord, as our Father. And Lord God, we commit this time. We ask that you'll have your way in our midst here. I pray, Lord, that you'll order my thoughts and words that may bring glory to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, great. Thanks, Marianne. That was a very good reading. Sorry, Emil, I'll get you next time, eh? Just be ready. Cool. So, I love that passage of Scripture. It's such an encouragement and such an inspiration to step out there. So, you know, here's Paul, obviously having had a very dramatic conversion, and he's on fire for the Lord, and he's going out very apostolic and wanting to spread the gospel, wanting to see local believing communities established and thriving. And now he's in Greece and Athens, and there's this place, it's like a rocky outcrop called the Areopagus, and that's where it used to function as a court where they would basically try people for homicide and that kind of thing. But they also used to have these religious deliberations there. And so, you know, it's kind of the lion's den. And he stands up there very courageously and boldly proclaiming something that these people are not familiar with. But they sort of into different ideas and philosophy and all of that. And he gets up and he shares this very powerful and compelling message. And what we see in the last few verses that we read was there was three different kinds of responses. Firstly, some mocked him, okay? Secondly, you had some that said, well, we'll listen another time again. We'll hear you on this matter again. And then thirdly, there were some that believed him, all right? And that's pretty much the three options that you have in the world today. Those are the three choices when it comes to the gospel and how we as people respond. And you shouldn't be surprised when you get one or all three of those kind of responses when you share the gospel with people around you. You know, I'm thinking specifically about your workplaces, your colleagues and so on. Maybe they're in the canteen or around the water cooler and you drop a little testimony. You know, you've been praying for your colleagues. And I mean, Paul must have prayed. He was like in the spirit, I'm sure, 99% of the time. I mean, he wrote to us that we should pray without ceasing. So let's assume that he did some fair amount of petitioning the Lord before he got up there and shared at the Areopagus. And there were still these responses. We mustn't be shocked when people ridicule us, when people reject the message. Now, unfortunately, we often feel personally rejected when someone rejects what we say. It's that principle of reject the gift and reject the giver. But don't be discouraged and do not stop praying for people and sharing the gospel with people. This is God's primary vehicle for bringing His revelation into the world today. He has chosen to use us, as imperfect and fallible people. He has chosen us to bring the gospel. God can, of course, do it all by Himself. But He has chosen to make us, who have already received Him as our Father, we have become His children. He has chosen to take us along with Him to work. You know, some of you, your kids are on holiday at the moment. And some moms are clearly away. And so some dads didn't even have the strength to get the kids ready for church this morning or whatever. I know what it's like. You know, I struggle if Charlene goes for some conference for one day. I'm like, when are you coming back? You know, it's tough. And, you know, we need to be courageous. We need to be bold. We need to go out there and share. But it's difficult. We mustn't be discouraged, though. This is God's choice to use us, and He's going to help us in that. Don't stop praying. Don't stop sharing. So this morning, what I want to share with us from this passage of Scripture in Acts 17, from this message that Paul brings to a mixed bag of people, let's face it, everybody's unique, and people are going to respond differently as we see there. But he brings a message that highlights some very foundational truths about who God is. And I trust that the message this morning is going to encourage us to always keep that as something of a framework that will help us to hang the various elements and truths about the gospel when we are communicating with people, and also that we would grow in our faith to that place where we are unwavering, like Abraham was when the Lord asked him to sacrifice Isaac, unwavering in our belief and our faith, like God has got this. So some basic truths. I want to highlight four truths from this passage of Scripture. And the first one, and the verse in of Acts 17, and verse 24, to highlight that first point, the God who made the world and everything in it. Okay, so I want to highlight that first truth for us this morning, just a little nugget, that He's the Lord of all creation. You know, so we moved to Pietermaritzburg. I started on the 1st of August last year. And it's just as well a completely different country. I mean, the Zulu King does want to make us a sovereign state all by ourselves. And, you know, then I'll need to get another passport and everything. But it could just as well be another country. If you just look at, the climate and the culture and the curry and the landscape, the scenery around you, it looks completely different from Cape Town. So I love coming back to Cape Town as we've been having some conversations with church leaders. I miss the mountains. Our mountains look different down here. Massive granite mountains, and over there it's more like a mountain. There is what we might call like a rolling green hill or something, but that would be called a mountain. In fact, in Pietermaritzburg we have our own Table Mountain. It's called Table Mountain, but it's like the mini-me version of Table Mountain. Okay, and not very impressive. You know, I haven't even bothered to go there yet. I'm like, no, I've done the real deal. This is like the fake, the counterfeit. And I'm not supporting the Sharks yet. You know, sorry, Monet. I know you used to be a legend Sharks supporter. But yeah, it's different. It's different out there. The mountains down here, as the psalmist says, when I look up to the mountains, I remember where my help comes from. We are surrounded, we are so blessed by mountains down here in the Cape that you really don't have to even lift your eyes very high to stare directly into a massive testimony and witness and evidence of God's existence. And to know that if my God could make that massive thing, you know, what is my problem in relation to that? He can sort anything out. I don't have to stress. I don't have to fear. And the scriptures are clear. The Lord Jesus himself tells us, do not be anxious about tomorrow. I've learned that. There's a Chichewa saying that when translated, it says, the head that is big is never missed by blows. What it means is that if you're the leader in any organization or, you know, situation, all the problems pertaining to that organization are going to come to you. You can't avoid it. If you're the leader, all the problems are going to come to you. And that is a given. Any organization, any church, because we are comprised of imperfect people, there's going to be problems. There's going to be some issues. And so, you know, heading up the ministry here for South Africa, I've encountered a lot of challenges from day one. I stepped into a board meeting on my first day and I got handed with a nice wheelbarrow of challenges, you know, and so it's very easy to start stressing, but the Lord says, don't worry. So I've learned that every day there's a high probability that I'm going to get given a new challenge. So I've stopped worrying about tomorrow. I'm just focusing. And when the challenge comes, I do my best to deal with it now. I don't want it to. If I'm going to procrastinate, if I'm going to put it off, I'm going to end up with just this massive amount of challenges. So I just try and deal with them one at a time without worrying about what could happen and what is waiting for me tomorrow. And so God sustains you. His grace is sufficient for you for each day. His mercy is new each day. And I rely on that. And you know what? That keeps us dependent on him on a daily basis. It keeps us in relationship with him. So he is the Lord of all creation. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the world today that will dispute that. There's a lot of scientists out there that would love to just shut the door on the conversation of the existence of God. They don't even want to consider that as an option. And so they'll do everything possible to try and extrapolate and find some other explanation somehow. But there remain just too many missing links. That's why we can't find them, because they are missing. And anyway, I'm not going to go too much into that, but let me tell you a little story of Kali. Let's just contextualize it for South Africa, but I don't want to offend anyone. Is anyone's name here Kali? There is a Kali. Sorry. Okay. Let's change his name, because Kali is not a good character in this story. So any Vladimirs? Yeah, Vladimir. Okay, that's a safe one. Let's say Vladimir. Okay, so Vladimir, he's on holiday in the winelands here, and he goes for a walk there by Yonkershoek, and he's just loving the nature around him, you know, and he's admiring the fynbos and some of the trees, and he's just walked past, you know, Tweede Waterfall. And he's thinking to himself, wow, such a marvel of nature, you know, that through chance, random process over millions and millions of years, these, you know, intricate things could have developed and formed. And the next moment, he hears a bit of a rustle here in the fynbos behind him. And he looks around, and behold, there's the lesser spotted Cape Mountain leopard that jumps into the pikey just behind him. And Vladimir recognizes this is not just a tame little kitty cat. He's got to run now for his life. And he starts running, and he looks over his shoulder every few seconds. And, you know, this leopard is just gaining on him. And the next moment he trips as he looks behind him, and he's flat on his back in the path, and the leopard is just about to pounce on him. He's like literally mid-air when Vladimir decides, he's like, oh my God! And suddenly everything stops in time, you know, and the little stream that was down there stops flowing, and the birds that were up above, you know, freeze mid-air. the gentle breeze stops and the heavens sort of open up above Vladimir, and this kind of bright light just shines upon him. And then the booming voice of God is like, Vladimir, am I to propose that at this time you are actually wanting to accept my existence and become a Christian after denying me your whole life? And Vladimir takes a moment and he thinks, he's like, oh, that would be very hypocritical of me. No, maybe I should not do that. No, I do not want to become a Christian, but could you maybe convert this leopard into a Christian? God says, Vladimir, are you sure? He says, yes. Okay. Next moment, the bright light disappears, heaven closes, stream starts flowing again, gentle breeze, birds start flying away again, and Vladimir looks up, and the leopard is above him, and the leopard looks into his eyes, and the leopard goes and sits down on his haunches. And Vladimir checks this out, and then the leopard looks at him. The next moment, the leopard brings his two paws together and says, Heavenly Father, for the food that I'm about to receive, I'm truly grateful. It didn't work out very well for Vladimir. He didn't quite stay out the length of his visa. So, you know, there's a lot of different hypotheses out there. But as Christians, it's so exciting that we can have answers today. And, you know, more and more scientists are actually starting to look at the same evidence that everybody has, but through the biblical lens, and seeing that, hey, there is actually the most plausible explanation for the existence of these things. And so it's a very exciting time to be Christian. But as I said as well, you know, challenging-wise, when it comes to our culture, when it comes to, you know, life in the fast lane and climbing the corporate ladder, sort of secular business, and where most of us would find ourselves, it's very challenging because as Christians, we are becoming increasingly marginalized, and the environment around us is becoming increasingly hostile and intolerant towards what we believe. You know, and if we don't watch out as a church, we could find ourselves, you know, facing a situation where they want to outlaw the Bible in our own country because of hate speech, or what they even call these days, hurt speech. You have to be so careful, because something you say in Cape Town can be recorded. This message probably is being recorded. And someone in Johannesburg can be offended by something that you have said here, and they can want to take you to court. This is a reality, and it happens all the time. Christian people are being dragged to court every week. Praise God for believing attorneys that actually make it their work to defend Christians and to stand up for the freedom of religion in South Africa. There's a ministry called 4SA that is their vision, and well worth supporting. So, yeah, we need to stand up for what we believe. But our God, He's the creator. And if He created everything, and He created the heavens and the earth, and He made these beautiful mountains that we can see from right here in Durbanville, then there's no problem or challenge that can come over our path that we need to be intimidated by. We need to stand up for what we believe. Because without Jesus, without faith in Christ, the world around us, they are lost. And we don't want to see them die in their sin, because Jesus is their only hope. And we have that answer. So I trust that we can just be encouraged even this morning just to not give up and not allow ourselves to become intimidated into being silent or into compromising on the truth. But let us make a stand for what we believe. You know, too often we're just mindful of what we are against, even as believers. But let us focus even more on what we stand for. And currently, I mean, we need to use that liberty that we have to the max. We still have freedom of religion in South Africa, so we don't have a reason to be intimidated. Let us use that opportunity. Secondly, verse 26 reads, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth." And he made from one man every nation. He is the Lord of all nations. Now, if that's not one of the biggest indictments on racism that we often find in our own country, I mean, it's a global phenomenon, but, you know, then I don't know what is. We all come from the same place. And we know in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. So God will see every tribe and tongue around the throne in heaven. And so we have no reason to discriminate in that regard. I love saying when I'm ministering in Africa, and I've just recently come from Kenya and Rwanda, I've preached in Uganda, I'm going to Ghana this October as well, and I love to use the Swahili and say, "Mimi ni mwa Afrika." Okay, so that's an easy one to remember. Mimi ni mwa Afrika. And that means I am an African. And I'm an African. I was born here. I was raised here. As far as I know, although sometimes as South Africans, you know, we'll say, "Yeah, I'm going into Africa." It's like, aren't we already in Africa? South Africa, newsflash, is part of Africa. It's even in the name of our country. We should remember that. So I was born in Africa and I was raised in Africa. In fact, my family has been in Africa for 8 generations. And I'm African. And so can we already get past the color thing and, you know, stop being prejudiced based on our appearance? Inside, we have the same heartbeat and we have the same creator. And there is only the one way of salvation. And so you'll find this argument many times, and it might rear its head in the whole argument against colonialism and all of that, but that Christians brought God to Africa and the Christian God is the European God. And that couldn't be further from the truth. So God was always in Africa. God is omnipresent. Okay, that's just another characteristic of him. He's everywhere. Plus, every human being was made in his image. So there's been the image of God. As long as there's been a person on this continent, the image of God has been on this continent. And Christians didn't bring God to Africa. God brought more Christians to Africa to share the gospel. In fact, Africa harbored the Son of God for 2 years in his infancy, protecting him from Herod. And Jesus wants back in Africa in a big way. He is in Africa in a big way. As I said, it's kind of the center of Christianity in the world. But he wants back in, and that's a great argument when someone says, no, but he's the God of the Europeans or whatever. Besides the fact that Jesus himself, you know, it set foot or, yeah, I mean, by the time you're 2 years old, you can walk, right? Jesus was running around in Africa, in Egypt. Besides that, Philip ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch who was on his way back to Africa, you know, which means that most likely Africa received the gospel of Jesus Christ before most parts of Europe and certainly before Asia and the Americas many centuries before that. So Africa is something of a birthplace, if you could call it that, for Christianity as well, very close to that time. Yeah, so he's the Lord of all nations, and we mustn't forget that when we look at people and we want to decide who should I minister to first, you know, will they be able to receive the gospel message? They were created, everybody, no matter if they're from Asia, the Americas, wherever, were created to receive the gospel message and to step into relationship with God. Okay, thirdly, verse 30. the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. The times of ignorance God overlooked. Again, he is Lord of all ages. From the beginning to now, he's changed. The Bible tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He doesn't change. God has not had a bad idea. I mean, how can we accuse him of that even? He's the same. He's had no need to change the message. You know, we don't subscribe to the cessationist theories and all of that, that what we read in the Bible or parts thereof was only applicable to that time. And, you know, it's for some kind of an ancient people and not for us today. No, God is the same God today as he always was and as he always will be. He's not going to change. He hasn't had a bad idea. I've had bad ideas before. Many, plenty. In fact, one that is very shallow in my memory is from my wedding day. I mean, so it's hard to forget that. You know, that's like it could rank it as the second best day of my life after Jesus saved me. And it's an amazing day. And in the sort of passion and joy of the moment, during my reception with 140 guests, I get up and I make a promise to my new bride, Charlene, standing next to me. I will make you a coffee every morning of your life. And yeah, Uncle Patrick, you know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, I defaulted on that promise within a few days. So, yeah, that was not even on my honeymoon. Sure, that's right. So I've had bad ideas. I've made promises that I can't keep. But our God, he's the promise keeper. And his promises are yes and amen. But every promise has a premise and it's a partnership, you know. He's a gentleman and he comes by invitation. If you seek him, you will find him. If you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. So God is waiting for us. We're not waiting for him. But he's Lord of the ages. Always. And so we don't have to ever doubt that. As I said, we find ourselves in a culture that's increasingly antagonistic towards us as Christians. Do not allow yourself to be intimidated. Remember these foundational truths about who we serve. He's the Lord of all creation. He's the Lord of all nations. He's the Lord of the ages. And then finally, he's the Lord of the judgment. Verse 31, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. It would have been the easiest thing to stop this heresy that, you know, the Jews and the Romans, that was causing problems for them, if they could just produce a body of Jesus. And you can go explore all the different hypotheses and all of that. But the fact of the matter is, the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen and he's alive. And Christianity spread despite the disciples getting persecuted and martyred for their faith. It is true. He was raised from the dead. And he ascended to heaven. Jesus is not here right now. But he said, I must go so I can send my spirit, which he did. And them said, that same spirit that has quickened our spirits, that has infused us, that has come to dwell inside of us when we said yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when we said yes, we believe in Jesus, that he died upon the cross, that his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, and that God raised him from the dead. When we made that good confession, he gave us his spirit to dwell within us. And we were born again into a new reality with a new identity, a new direction, a new nature, and a new purpose in this life. And that's what happened to me almost 16 years ago, when a lot of my crazy drinking friends, and I was the most crazy of them, were saying, well, we'll give you a few months and then we'll see if you still believe in this Jesus. Well, now almost 16 years later, and I can just thank God that by His grace, I've never turned away from the Lord again, because what I found in Jesus is a million times better than anything the world could offer me. And I tried pretty much everything the world can offer in terms of earthly pleasure. I'll share a bit more about my story tonight if you'd like to join for that, or tell a friend about it. I believe it's encouraging. So, that we would remember that our Lord, who is risen and ascended, said that He's coming back and He has not yet broken a promise. And so if Jesus said He's coming back, the question I want to hold before us today, are you ready? Are you ready for Him to come back? I know I'm ready. I can't wait for Jesus to come back. I mean, as I said, as leaders, we've got challenges up to here. And I know that in heaven, I'm not going to have to do that kind of admin and handle, you know, disputes between people and all of these things. Praise God, we're all just going to love each other in heaven. There's not going to be any issues, and there's not going to be any finance challenges and all of these things. Praise the Lord. In fact, as an evangelist, you know, I'm not going to have much to do because everyone's saved in heaven already. So I'm looking forward to, I'm working very hard, sleeping very little right now, but in heaven I'm going to rest for a while at least. I don't know, God's got something planned for us, right? But I look forward to when Jesus comes back. But you know, as much of a good day as that's going to be for you and me, it's going to be a terrible day for people that reject Jesus' offer of salvation. A terrible day, the most terrible, horrific day of their lives. And unfortunately for those that have that posture of rejecting Jesus, this earth with all its problems is as close as they're going to get to heaven. And that's a very sad story. Can I pray for us this morning? Let's bow our heads. Yeah, Father God, we want to just thank You for Your grace in giving us what we don't deserve through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You, God, this morning for Your mercy in withholding and not giving us what we do deserve, what our sin demanded, which is death. And even when You saved me, Lord, I knew that I deserved to die. And I just want to thank You, God, that as I expected in that moment for You to destroy me, You said, no, I love You and I forgive you. And I know, Lord, that is what You want to say to each person here, anyone here that is not in relationship with You right now, anyone here who is still in their sin because they have not received that forgiveness, they have not stepped into a personal relationship with You, they have not made You Lord of all in their lives, I thank You, Lord, that You hold before them that invitation and that promise of forgiveness. But Lord, that is a promise and that is a gift that we have to receive from You. You're not going to force it upon us. It's not going to happen automatically. We're not going to receive it because our parents were good Christians. Lord, each one has to make that decision for themselves. And so with every eye closed, every head bowed, I just want to make a strong appeal this morning. If there's any uncertainty, if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not chosen to follow Him, or maybe you did, but you've wandered away from Him, and right now you know that you are not in right relationship with Jesus. Vanoggend as jou saak nie reg is met die Here nie, maak daai besluit. This morning, make that decision. If you have not yet done so, or if you've walked away from the Lord, I want to pray with you. So if you want to make that decision this morning, if you want to receive Jesus this morning as your Savior and your Lord, then raise your hand high. I want to pray for you. Anyone like that this morning, just raise your hand high. I want to pray with you. Okay. Yeah, Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, that this morning that we know you as our Heavenly Father. Thank you for the reassurance that it gives us. Thank you, Lord, that you say to each one this morning, be strong and courageous. I've sent you into the world as my witnesses. There in your workplace, there in your circle of friends, there in your family, shine that light for Jesus. Do not be intimidated. Do not be fearful, for I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Lord, I speak strength and courage over this congregation, and I thank you, Lord, that they are lights in a dark world. Thank you, Lord, that they know the truth. I bless them in that in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, even as I share just some of those foundational truths about who you are and how you want to relate to us and what we should understand about you. I thank you, Lord, that that just becomes ingrained and entrenched in our hearts and our minds, that we will not depart from that, that we will not allow ourselves any shadow of doubt or turning in our hearts, that we'll be steadfast, immovable in our faith. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.